from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Some people like Chris Emma.
We are live at the wall out here in Gurnee. This is the spot to watch Hard Knocks. This is the spot to watch Bears games. This is the spot to get food and drink and play Golden Tee and have a great time.
There's a baby here. I mean, I thought Zeb, you know, Corey's son Zeb was going to be the youngest kid, but no, we got, that's got to be under, I'm going to say 3 months. 6 months?
Eight months.
All right.
8 months.
I was very wrong on
three months. It's been a long time since he's had a baby.
I haven't had a baby in almost 12 years.
Baby can hold his head up. You're in 3 months.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Shad's baby.
Yeah, that's incredible. Shad from the South Side is here.
Came all the way to Gurnee from the South Side.
Phenomenal.
Well, to be fair, Danny, we don't know if it's Shad's baby. He could have found it. We don't know if that is his.
If he found that baby is lucky to be found by Shad.
That's
true. A lot
true.
Of takes in that household.
Although, I did see a pregnant woman in the lobby. Looked like she was going into labor. So it could a younger baby.
Oh, so we might have a younger. Yeah. Maybe crossing my fingers, we can get a younger baby here at the wall before the end of the show.
Well, if I know what brings people out to viewing experiences, it's the promise of being able to be in the presence of an 8-month-old baby.
Yes.
It's what everyone wants when they're watching sports and on airplanes.
The other thing that works is if Chris Emma is going to do a Bears report full of audio and nuggets and tidbits from a hot Bears practice
that was pretty new.
That happened earlier in the day.
Oh, hi, Chris Emma.
What up?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Oh, we're great.
We're
How
good,
are you,
man.
Sir?
Thank you for bringing a sense of professionalism immediately to this absolutely chaotic show.
Did you see the pole vaulter at the Olympics? Never mind.
I have not.
Okay, yeah, no.
You've been working.
It was impressive.
Yeah, said what was Bears practice like today? Tell us how Caleb did, and tell us how it looked from your perspective in a general sense, Chris.
Yeah, a little bit of a lighter day there, fresh off the off day. They've done what they call blocks, which is kind of a 3-practice segment in which they build up toward the end. So today was the lighter day. They're going to go full pads tomorrow and Thursday as well. Caleb had a good day. He looked sharp out there, good command of his passes, of his route trees, going through everything he needed to do. Capped off practice well today as he was leading a 2-minute situation. Hit Gerald Everett on a pass that set up Cairo Santos for the game-tying field goal in that scenario. So good day for Caleb Williams. Some procedural issues for the offense, continued issues with the false start and some of the pre-snap stuff, but I tend to think that'll get worked out.
Okay, so that will get worked out, and it was one of those types of days that are weird to really glean anything from, but meaningful people did speak today. Who are we hearing from during this report, Emma?
Yeah, Matt Eberflus got right to it, talking about the plan for Caleb Williams and really the unique situation as they balance the offensive line. We've heard in the past Matt Eberflus talking about, we want to get that best 5 out there, but they are also in a situation with injuries and inconsistencies and trying to determine, what is that best 5? How can they get all these guys on the field at the same time? And as that relates to Caleb Williams, look, they don't want to put their young quarterback out there with an offensive line they don't exactly trust. So it's still yet to be determined whether Caleb Williams will play in Saturday's preseason game in Buffalo. Matt Eberflus talked about kind of the delicate balance and the priorities with Caleb Williams wanting that continuity while also searching for consistency with that group. Here's Matt Eberflus.
There's obviously, you want continuity and you want consistency for sure. That's what you're getting to, and that is for sure the case. We'll go as fast as we can to make that decision, but we'll also go have our patience and go as slow as we need to to make the right decision. So I think it's important that you look at it that way. You know, certainly we want to get it solidified, but sometimes injury plays into that, you know, where you get opportunity and position flex based on that. Everybody's not healthy all the time. So, but yeah, for sure we want the consistency to be there as fast as we can.
It's interesting. So does your gut instinct say that the health of the offensive line is going to affect what ordinarily would have been the plan for Caleb Williams' exposure in these preseason games, Chris?
I think so, Speaks. Yeah, look, it's a delicate balance, certainly, when you're looking at what you need for a young quarterback in this blueprint, which they've really been riding since the day that Caleb Williams was selected number one overall. And they've not really been able to accelerate that part, which is the preseason component here, because of the offensive line uncertainty. And I tend to believe that Caleb will play in Saturday's game. I think you're going to see maybe one or two series, something scripted really well where he gets the ball out quickly for passing plays, handoff, get him out of harm's way. Really just more of the experience factor instead of simply running through different parts of the offense. Worth noting, guys, that Darnell Wright, Tevin Jenkins were back out there today, full participants. Nate Davis continues to ramp up. He went through walkthrough with the first team offense, went through stretching, and then he was riding the bike the rest of the way. That seems to be part of the plan for Nate Davis. I think we're going to learn more by the end of this week. So I guess Wednesday, Thursday, as you get into where these starters are and what you're looking for out of that group. Matt Eberflus said they're going to determine by that point, and that's when they'll know whether they got good health there or not.
Yeah, that feels like it would be a mistake. Like I understand. I think what you said there at the end is how I would handle it too, is you can't not – if you thought the best thing for Caleb is to play, and now a couple of guys are hurt, and then you're just going to not play him. I'm normally conservative with this sort of thing, but they think he needs to play. What's to say these guys aren't going to be hurt week one against the Titans?
Right, and you might have to change the game plan then to adjust for some fears on the offensive line. So I think
if you believe that he needs preseason reps, yeah. I think he needs preseason reps. Again, I would be fine if they said, we'll see you against the Titans and we'll deal sure. with the rust then. I know I'm in the minority on that. I personally would be fine with it. I know that's not what they're going to do, but I don't think you can be like, well, Nate Davis hasn't been here, so we can't play Caleb Williams. Yeah. I don't think that that can be a factor.
This conversation, this segment, that tape is kind of cementing where I am on it, actually, Chris, and that would be that he ought to play, and maybe they'll adjust it, and we can do some quick hitters, do more handoffs, and just here the first time around, do it that way. Quick question, backtracking on the procedural issues at practice today. Are we talking false start? Were there more of the offensive penalties? And did you get the sense that was due to the backups on the offensive line, or just a lack of continuity on that front?
Yeah, a handful of false starts. I want to kind of really understand whether this is something that's more on the quarterback or more so the mixing and matching of the offensive line, or maybe both. You know, we talked to both Caleb Williams about it, talking to different offensive linemen. Nobody really wants to kind of put it out there as to who's at fault or what, how they kind of get this cleaned up. But I think it was a week and a half ago, Matt Eberflus credited the procedural stuff pre-snap, and it feels like it's been a mess ever since then. So it was strong to start this camp. Obviously, Eberflus jumped the gun a little bit, but it's August 6th. I'm not too worried about it. You're going to get mistakes at this point. Get them out of the way. Be ready for week one.
All right. Well, so let's get into some more specifics on the offensive line. Nate Davis, not exactly a fan favorite among the Bears. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, Matt Eberflus had some interesting comments talking about Nate Davis's status. I should preface this by saying July 29th, we got to hear from Shane Waldron. He was asked, Nate Davis comes back, is he your starter? Is he your guy when he's healthy? And Shane Waldron said pretty clearly, yes, he's our guy. He's our right guard. Matt Eberflus, not so much today. We asked about Nate Davis. He would not commit to it. Here's Matt Eberflus on Nate Davis's status.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly you have to look at all those things. You know, if a person's out for an extended period of time, you know, and a player that's in that position is playing very well at a starter level, you know, and doing a good job there, then you create the competition. Then you say, hey, there's a competition. You know, people say, well, you can't lose the job because of injury. I don't think that's true. I think that if the guy that's playing there, you know, gives our team a good look and a good benefit for him being in that position, then it's a competition, or the other guy could take it over. But that's not just that guard. That's at all positions.
You know, it continues to sound like, you know, coach speak and an opportunity to have some tough talk about availability. And I think it's an important clarification what Emma provided. I think it's Nate Davis's job if he's healthy enough to go.
Follow the money, man. they gave him real money. What was that, a $19 million contract? I think a little over 10 was guaranteed from memory.
And with all the availability issues and the injury issues last year, when he was healthy, he played.
Yeah, so that was a priority free agent for Ryan Poles, who really does stick to his conviction, as we've seen by his effort with multiple attempts to bring in Ryan Bates and, you know, using a first-round pick on Darnell Wright and drafting Braxton Jones and not moving off him at left tackle when there were options to do so. You know, he's got conviction in the guys that he scouts on the offensive line. So Nate Davis is the right guard. I haven't really wavered on that.
A question about the backup guard, Bill Murray. Chris, what Bill Murray is this? Is this young, swashbuckling Caddyshack Bill Murray? Is it, you know, kooky What About Bob Bill Murray? Or is it something much later in the catalog?
Good question.
I mean, look, I was out there for practice Sunday. I did not recognize some of the names of the guys running in with the ones. Bill Murray was there. We're well aware of Bill Murray's name now. Matty Roof, who's kind of volunteered in last week, talking about how great Bill Murray has looked so far. That's lovely. That's not the guy I want to be hearing. He's doing great so far and is running with the ones. That should be Nate Davis. Danny, let me up the ante on you. Nate Davis is 3 years, $30 million, 18 plus guaranteed. Like, you paid a lot of money for him. Now, this is a situation where we've seen many times before. Is the front office and the coaching staff on different pages? Maybe Ryan Poles wants more for Nate Davis than the coaching staff, and you see some kind of disconnect. We also know that Ryan Poles really likes Ryan Bates. That is your contingency plan. Ryan Bates, most likely your starting center in a scenario in which Nate Davis is healthy, but they can slide him over to right guard, no problem. They like Coleman Shelton, too. This guy started 17 games for the Rams last year at center. Today was a Coleman Shelton day at center, in part because Nate Davis is out. And you did see Ryan Bates at that right guard spot. So we'll see. At some point, it is a lot of money, yes, but you got to put that aside of what's going to be best for you. And back to our original point with the quarterback, you got to find the right caddy at center to be there. And at some point, commit, this is Caleb Williams center. This is going to be the guy working with him as a rookie. So we're not there yet. You still got probably a couple weeks before you really got to solidify that. But availability is the best ability, and we've just not seen that from Nate Davis.
Source of excitement for Bears fans is the big three wide receivers. Tell us about them and where things stand and what you heard today from the big three.
Yeah, we got to hear from Keenan Allen and Romo Dunze. Obviously heard from DJ Moore last week after the ink was dry and that $110 million contract extension. Keenan Allen's an interesting guy. Like, this guy is a veteran's veteran, a pro's pro. I love hearing from Keenan Allen. And today it was especially relevant because you're going to hear from him. He was excited for DJ Moore, but there's also the issue for Keenan Allen entering a contract year. So here is Keenan Allen first with the reaction to DJ Moore's deal and then his own situation.
Feels great. Obviously, he just secured it. And, you know, that's great. You know, anytime a receiver, especially a guy in our room, you know, somebody that we're going to see every day, you know, it just brings the morale, the excitement up every day. And, you know, happy for him. And, we'll see what happens.
Are you looking to get an extension done?
No, I'm just trying to, you know, bring my best game for the team and, you know, just do what I can.
You've obviously had several months now to settle in with this team. Were you want the idea of an extension here? Is this a place you're looking at thinking I could be here for several years?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we already have great chemistry in the locker room. Great friends already made, and, you know, the city is beautiful. The team is coming together nice, so absolutely.
Are you okay with the idea if this is a contract year of going out there, proving it, looking for that next deal, whether it's here or somewhere else?
Yeah, I have no problem doing that. You know, bet on myself any day of the week.
It's interesting. It's interesting because – you know, is his best bet going to be to play very well and then go hit the market as one of the big-time free agents? I would assume so, because I would assume that he wants more than the Bears would conceivably try to do right now as a contract extension. I haven't allowed myself to really think of that as a possibility at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to pay Keenan Allen.
I don't think so.
I understand wanting it and campaigning for it, and they have the cap space to do it. And receiver's a hugely premium position.
For sure, but they just drafted one, and they only used a fourth-round pick on this guy, and it's part of the perfect landing spot situation they have for Caleb. That's what it's about, and to win this year.
Yeah, right, to win this year, minimal investment to get him, have him help Rome Odunze, everything about it. It's just paying for a receiver into his mid-30s when you don't, like, it just goes from a very cheap acquisition to a very expensive acquisition. If all of a sudden they're like, let's pay for his 34, 35, and 36-year-old seasons on a $20 million plus per year contract. Do you disagree, Emma? I'd be shocked if they paid Keenan Allen.
You know, I could have made the case back in March when they did make this move that you can do kind of a front-loaded two-year deal where you have an out after this year if you see fit. I've talked to multiple sources over the last few months who have indicated this is something they're going to follow up on mid-season. So think about end of October, past the deadline into November, see how Keenan Allen's playing first and foremost if he's healthy, and he did miss some games last year, but if he's on that kind of consistent Keenan Allen pace or not, that 100 catch plus being that guy for Caleb Williams. They're open to the idea, but it's something that they're not open to yet. The Bears want to see Keenan Allen go on and prove it. To the other point, Keenan Allen hired a new agent. He hired Clutch Sports over the last month or two, I believe it was, fired his previous agent. He's looking for a deal. He's looking for kind of that next contract. I think he's open to the idea that the Bears are just a bridge team, and he's going to hit the open market, what, just before year, age 33 for him, and being a free agent and a premium one at that.
He's 5 years older than DJ Moore. You know, it's like, it's interesting when DJ Moore called him, well, that's a vet. Yeah. Five years is an eternity for an NFL wide receiver.
They got him for value. They would, if they sign him, that's paying a premium, right? It would be a very inefficient way to go about doing it. I'd be shocked. But he's going to have a huge impact on Rome Odunze, who I imagine is enjoying learning from these veterans.
Yeah, it's great for Rome Odunze. And as we talk about that transition plan at wide receiver, Rome's obviously the part of that. You want him in an ideal world to become your number one guy. And Rome Odunze is learning from both Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Here's Rome Odunze and what he's seeking out from his teammates.
Right. I think I'll just try and take a lot. You know, I just try to take in, you know, every route that they run and what they see on different coverages. They probably annoy with me all the things that I ask them about. But yeah, I try and gain as much information as I can and possible, but sometimes I look back, I'm like, man, I'm not even gonna ask a question about that. Like, whatever he did right there, that's something special for him. You know what I mean? And that's one thing that you garner too. Like, you know, sometimes I watch Keenan, sometimes I watch DJ, and they do things I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's in my playbook. You know, I'm gonna have to figure out a different way to, you know, get the route done, because they're special in that way. They have, you know, such unique traits to be able to do so many different things and comfortability to get open on any given route. So just learning those things and learning the different nuances that they do within a route and catching the ball that I try and emulate. But, you know, got to find my own style within that as well.
Damn, he's as impressive as Caleb, man. He really is. Just like the way he thinks about it, the way he's able to articulate it, and it's just what a great spot for him to get a chance to learn from two guys like that. Reminds me of a young pitcher, out there. The kid I was talking about from the Braves, Schwellenbach, yesterday, there with Charlie Morton and Chris Sale and Max Fried, learning everything he can in the dugout.
That's, well, yeah, we keep talking about the nest in the that they've built for Caleb.
Oh, my God.
It's a pretty good one that they've done for Rome Odunze.
Incredible.
Hey, for the route running, Keenan Allen.
Yep.
Hey, for the contested catchability, the professionalism, all that, DJ Moore, combination, learn everything, and then just go be great.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, just go ahead and bond with the rookie quarterback on the same timeline, and this could be your team within a year or two.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Emma, Bears Nuggets, what do we got?
Yeah, interesting sub-story of training camp. Valus Jones Jr. is getting a look at a running back today. Matt Eberflus said they are looking at this through kind of this weekend. It's something they're going to reevaluate, I believe, following this week. Look, they see him as a weapon in that position and a potential option. I tend to still bet against Valus Jones being on the roster, the initial 53, but this is an opportunity for him. He's in a wide receiver spot that's deep, and he's got a chance now to crack in and be some kind of specialist at the running back position. And John Hussey and his crew were present today, leading practice in the officiating side. I got to talk with John Hussey after practice. We got to go over the three new rule changes. Cover them with quick spark notes here, but you got the kickoff format, which was we learned about ad nauseum during the Hall of Fame game. The elimination of the hip drop tackle is something that's going to be a key point. And an expanded replay assist for calls such as roughing the passer, late hits out of bounds, and intentional grounding. I asked John Hussey about kind of the hip drop aspect. Is this something you think is going to be over-officiated or overly controversial with players? He said, look, that they are not going to be calling that unless it's a blatant call. It's something that's clear as day to them that it's an illegal play. I don't think it's going to be something that's got a lot of wiggle room early on. So We'll see how that one plays out, but interesting to hear from John Hussey. And two more days of practice, both in full pads to wrap up the week. Walkthrough on Friday, off to Buffalo for the game on Saturday.
Chris, one thing on Velus Jones. Is it at all possible that he's working with the running backs because some of the blocking on the new kickoffs mirror running back schemes, and he's got to think about it from that perspective? That's a theory I heard floated earlier today.
I love that theory. It absolutely makes a ton of sense. In fact, hearing from John Hussey, he referred to the kickoff play basically as a running play. Once you get to a certain point with the guy, with the returner taking that thing back, it turns into a running play. There's open field there. I can buy into that space. Yeah, if he is that guy they want to see as their kickoff returner, there's certainly some running back traits you can take from that as well. I'd also point to a guy like Tyler Scott, who's got some running back in his past and a guy who can run naturally with the football. He's somebody going to be competing for that spot as well. We saw him in the Hall of Fame game last Thursday night. So it's a good asset to have back there in the return game.
All right. Good job, Emma. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, man.
Take care.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Some people like Chris Emma.
We are live at the wall out here in Gurnee. This is the spot to watch Hard Knocks. This is the spot to watch Bears games. This is the spot to get food and drink and play Golden Tee and have a great time.
There's a baby here. I mean, I thought Zeb, you know, Corey's son Zeb was going to be the youngest kid, but no, that's got to be under, I'm going to say 3 months. 6 months?
Eight months.
All right.
8 months.
I was very wrong on
he's had a long. It's been a long time since he's had a baby.
I haven't had a baby in almost 12 years.
Baby can hold his head up. You're in 3 months.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Shad's baby.
Yeah, that's incredible. Shad from the South Side is here.
Came all the way to Gurnee from the South Side.
Phenomenal.
Well, to be fair, Danny, we don't know if it's Shad's baby. He could have found it. We don't know if that is his.
If he found that baby is lucky to be found by Shad.
That's
a lot
true.
Of takes in that household.
Although, wow. I did see a pregnant woman in the lobby. Looked like she was going into labor. So it could
have
been a younger baby.
Oh, so we might have a younger baby. Maybe if we, crossing my fingers, we can get a younger baby here at the wall before the end of the show.
Well, if I know what brings people out to viewing experiences, it's the promise of being able to be in the presence of an 8-month-old baby.
Yes.
It's what everyone wants when they're watching sports and on airplanes.
The other thing that works is if Chris Emma is going to do a Bears report full of audio and nuggets and tidbits from a hot Bears practice
that was pretty new.
That happened earlier in the day.
Oh, hi, Chris Emma.
What up?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Oh, we're great.
We're
How
good,
are you,
man.
Sir?
Thank you for bringing a sense of professionalism immediately to this absolutely chaotic show.
Did you see the pole vaulter at the Olympics? Never mind. Okay, yeah,
good
no.
You. He's been working.
It was impressive.
Yeah, it said, what was Bears practice like today? Tell us how Caleb did, and tell us how it looked from your perspective in a general sense, Chris.
Yeah, a little bit of a lighter day there, fresh off the off day. They've done what they call blocks, which is kind of a three-practice segment in which they build up toward the end. So today was the lighter day. They're going to go full pads tomorrow and Thursday as well. Caleb had a good day. He looked sharp out there, good command of his passes, of his route trees, going through everything he needed to do. Capped off practice well today as he was leading a two-minute situation. Hit Gerald Everett on a pass that set up Cairo Santos for the game-tying field goal in that scenario. So good day for Caleb Williams. Some procedural issues for the offense, continued issues with the false start and some of the pre-snap stuff, but I tend to think that'll get worked out.
Okay, so that will get worked out, and it was one of those types of days that are weird to really glean anything from, but meaningful people did speak today. Who are we hearing from during this report, Emma?
Yeah, Matt Eberflus got right to it, talking about the plan for Caleb Williams and really the unique situation as they balance the offensive line. We've heard in the past Matt Eberflus talk about, we want to get that best five out there, but they are also in a situation with injuries and inconsistencies and trying to determine what is that best five at? How can they get all these guys on the field at the same time? And as that relates to Caleb Williams, look, they don't want to put their young quarterback out there with an offensive line they don't exactly trust. So it's still yet to be determined whether Caleb Williams will play in Saturday's preseason game in Buffalo. Matt Eberflus talked about kind of the delicate balance and the priorities with Caleb Williams wanting that continuity while also searching for consistency with that group. Here's Matt Eberflus.
There's obviously you want continuity and you want consistency for sure. And that's what you're getting to, and that is for sure the case. We'll go as fast as we can to make that decision, but we'll also go have our patience and go as slow as we need to make the right decision. So I think it's important that you look at it that way. You know, certainly we want to get it solidified, but sometimes injury plays into that, you know, where you get opportunity and position flex based on that. Everybody's not healthy all the time. So, but yeah, for sure we want the consistency to be there as fast as we can.
That's interesting. So does your gut instinct say that the health of the offensive line is going to affect what ordinarily would have been the plan for Caleb Williams' exposure in these preseason games, Chris?
I think so, Speaks. Yeah, look, it's a delicate balance, certainly, when you're looking at what you need for a young quarterback in this blueprint, which they've really been riding since the day that Caleb Williams was selected number one overall. And they've not really been able to accelerate that part, which is the preseason component here, because of the offensive line uncertainty. And I tend to believe that Caleb will play in Saturday's game. I think you're going to see maybe one or two series, something scripted really well where he gets the ball out quickly for passing plays, hand off, get him out of harm's way. Really just more of the experience factor instead of simply running through different parts of the offense. Worth noting, guys, that Darnell Wright, Tevin Jenkins were back out there today, full participants. Nate Davis continues to ramp up. He went through walkthrough with the first team offense, went through stretching, and then he was riding the bike the rest of the way. That seems to be part of the plan for Nate Davis. I think we're going to learn more by the end of this week. So I guess Wednesday, Thursday, as you get into where these starters are and what you're looking for out of that group. Matt Eberflus said they're going to determine by that point, and that's when they'll know whether they got good health there or not.
Yeah, that feels like it would be a mistake. Like I understand. I think what you said there at the end is how I would handle it too, is you can't not – if you thought the best thing for Caleb is to play, and now a couple of guys are hurt – and then you're just going to not play him. I'm normally conservative with this sort of thing, but they think he needs to play. What's to say these guys aren't going to be hurt week one against the Titans?
Right, and you might have to change the game plan then to adjust for some fears on the offensive line. So I think
so. If you believe that he needs preseason reps, yeah. I think he needs preseason reps. Again, I would be fine if they said, we'll see you against the Titans and we'll deal with the rust then. I know I'm in the minority on that. I personally would be fine with it. I know that's not what they're going to do, but I don't think you can be like, well, Nate Davis hasn't been here, so we can't play Caleb Williams. Yeah. I don't think that can be a factor.
This conversation, this segment, that tape is kind of cementing where I am on it, actually, Chris, and that would be that he ought to play, and maybe they'll adjust it, and we can do some quick hitters, do more handoffs, and just here the first time around, do it that way. Quick question, backtracking on the procedural issues at practice today. Are we talking false start? Were there more of the offensive penalties? And did you get the sense that was due to the backups on the offensive line, or just a lack of continuity on that front?
Yeah, a handful of false starts. I want to kind of really understand whether this is something that's more on the quarterback or more so the mixing and matching on the offensive line, or maybe both. You know, we talked to both Caleb Williams about it, talking to different offensive linemen. Nobody really wants to kind of put it out there as to who's at fault or what, how they kind of get this cleaned up. But I think it was a week and a half ago, Matt Eberflus credited the procedural stuff pre-snap, and it feels like it's been a mess ever since then. So it was strong to start this camp. Obviously, Eberflus jumped the gun a little bit, but it's August 6th. I'm not too worried about it. You're going to get mistakes at this point. Get them out of the way. Be ready for week one.
All right. Well, so let's get into some more specifics on the offensive line. Nate Davis, not exactly a fan favorite among the Bears. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, Matt Eberflus had some interesting comments talking about Nate Davis's status. I could preface this by saying July 29th, we got to hear from Shane Waldron. He was asked, Nate Davis comes back, is he your starter? Is he your guy when he's healthy? And Shane Waldron said pretty clearly, yes, he's our guy. He's our right guard. Matt Eberflus, not so much today. We asked about Nate Davis. He would not commit to it. Here's Matt Eberflus on Nate Davis's status.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly you have to look at all those things. You know, if a person's out for an extended period of time, you know, and a player that's in that position is playing very well at a starter level, you know, and doing a good job there, then you create the competition. Then you say, hey, there's a competition. You know, people say, well, you can't lose the job because of injury. I don't think that's true. I think that if the guy that's playing there, you know, gives our team a good look, and a good benefit for him being in that position, then it's a competition, or the other guy could take it over. But that's not just that guard. That's at all positions.
You know, it continues to sound like, you know, coach speak and an opportunity to have some tough talk about availability. And I think it's an important clarification what Emma provided. I think it's Nate Davis's job if he's healthy enough to go.
Follow the money, man. They gave him real money. What was that, a $19 million contract? I think a little over 10 was guaranteed from memory.
And with all the availability issues and the injury issues last year, when he was healthy, he played.
Yeah, so that was a priority free agent for Ryan Poles, who really does stick to his conviction, as we've seen by his effort with multiple attempts to bring in Ryan Bates and, you know, using a first-round pick on Darnell Wright and drafting Braxton Jones and not moving off him at left tackle when there were options to do so. You know, he's got conviction in the guys that he scouts on the offensive line. So Nate Davis is the right guard. I haven't really wavered on that.
A question about the backup guard, Bill Murray. Chris, what Bill Murray is this? Is this young, swashbuckling Caddyshack Bill Murray? Is it, you know, kooky What About Bob Bill Murray? Or is it something much later in the catalog?
Good question.
I mean, look, I was out there for practice Sunday. I did not recognize some of the names of the guys running in with the ones. Bill Murray was there. We're well aware of Bill Murray's name now. Matt Eberflus kind of volunteered in last week talking about how great Bill Murray has looked so far. That's lovely. That's not the guy I want to be hearing. He's doing great so far and is running with the ones. That should be Nate Davis. Danny, let me up the ante on you. Nate Davis is 3 years, $30 million, 18 plus guaranteed. Like, you paid a lot of money for him. Now, this is a situation where we've seen many times before. Is the front office and the coaching staff on different pages? Maybe Ryan Poles wants more for Nate Davis than the coaching staff, and you see some kind of disconnect. We also know that Ryan Poles really likes Ryan Bates. That is your contingency plan. Ryan Bates most likely your starting center in a scenario in which Nate Davis is healthy, but they can slide him over to right guard, no problem. They like Coleman Shelton, too. This guy started 17 games for the Rams last year at center. Today was a Coleman Shelton day at center, in part because Nate Davis is out. And you did see Ryan Bates at the right guard spot. So we'll see. At some point, it is a lot of money, yes, but you got to put that aside of what's going to be best for you. And back to our original point with the quarterback, you got to find the right caddy at center to be there. And at some point, commit. This is Caleb Williams center. This is going to be the eye working with him as a rookie. So we're not there yet. You still got probably a couple weeks before you really got to solidify that. But availability is the best ability, and we've just not seen that from Nate Davis.
Source of excitement for Bears fans is the big three wide receivers. Tell us about them and where things stand and what you heard today from the big three.
Yeah, we got to hear from Keenan Allen and Romeo Dunze. Obviously heard from DJ Moore last week after the ink was dry and that $110 million contract extension. Keenan Allen's an interesting guy. Like, this guy is a veteran's veteran, a pro's pro. I love hearing from Keenan Allen. And today it was especially relevant because you're going to hear from him. He was excited for DJ Moore, but there's also the issue for Keenan Allen entering a contract year. So here is Keenan Allen first with the reaction to DJ Moore's deal and then his own situation.
Feels great. No, obviously, he just secured it. And, you know, that's great. You know, anytime a receiver, especially a guy in our room, you know, somebody that we're going to see every day, you know, it just brings the morale, the excitement up every day. And, you know, happy for him. And, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Are you looking to get an extension done?
No, I'm just trying to, you know, bring my best game for the team and, you know, just do what I can.
You've obviously had several months now to settle in with this team. Were you want the idea of an extension here? Is this a place you're looking at thinking I could be here for several years?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we already have great chemistry in the locker room. Great friends already made, and, you know, the city is beautiful. The team is coming together nice, so absolutely.
Are you okay with the idea if this is a contract year of going out there, proving it, looking for that next deal, whether it's here or somewhere else?
Yeah, I have no problem doing that. You know, bet on myself any day of the week.
It's interesting. It's interesting because, you know, is his best bet going to be to play very well and then go hit the market as one of the big-time free agents? I would assume so. Because I would assume that he wants more than the Bears would conceivably try to do right now as a contract extension. I haven't allowed myself to really think of that as a possibility at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to pay Keenan Allen.
I don't think so.
I understand wanting it and campaigning for it, and they have the cap space to do it. And receivers are hugely premium position.
For sure, but they just drafted one, and they only used a fourth-round pick on this guy, and it's part of the perfect landing spot situation they have for Caleb. That's what it's about, and to win this year.
Yeah, well, right, to win this year, minimal investment to get him, have him help Rome Odunze, everything about it, it's just paying for a receiver into his mid-30s when you don't. Like, it just goes from a very cheap acquisition to a very expensive acquisition. If all of a sudden they're like, let's pay for his 34, 35, and 36-year-old seasons on a $20 million plus per year contract. Do you disagree, Emma? I'd be shocked if they paid Keenan Allen.
You know, I could have made the case back in March when they did make this move that you can do kind of a front-loaded two-year deal where you have an out after this year if you see fit. I've talked to multiple sources over the last few months who have indicated this is something you're going to follow up on mid-season. So think about end of October, past the deadline into November. See how Keenan Allen's playing, first and foremost, if he's healthy. And he didn't miss some games last year. But if he's on that kind of consistent Keenan Allen pace or not, that 100-catch plus, being that guy for Caleb Williams – and they're open to the idea, but it's something that they're not open to yet. The Bears want to see Keenan Allen go on and prove it. To the other point, Keenan Allen hired a new agent. He hired Clutch Sports over the last month or two, I believe it was, fired his previous agent. He's looking for a deal. He's looking for kind of that next contract. I think he's open to the idea that the Bears are just a bridge team, and he's going to hit the open market, what, just before age 33 for him, and being a free agent and a premium one at that.
He's 5 years older than DJ Moore. You know, it's like it's interesting when DJ Moore called him. Well, that's a vet. Yeah, five years is an eternity for an NFL wide receiver.
What they got him for value. They would, if they sign him, that's paying a premium, right? It would be a very inefficient way to go about doing it. I'd be shocked. But he's going to have a huge impact on Rome Odunze, who I imagine is enjoying learning from these veterans.
Yeah, it's great for Rome Odunze. And as we talk about that transition plan at wide receiver, Rome's obviously the part of that. You want him in an ideal world to become your number one guy. And Rome Odunze is learning from both Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Here's Rome Odunze and what he's seeking out from his teammates.
Right. I think I'll just try and take a lot. You know, I just try to take in, you know, every route that they run and what they see on different coverages. They probably annoy with me all the things that I ask them about. But yeah, I try and gain as much information as I can as possible. But sometimes I look back, I'm like, man, I'm not even gonna ask a question about that. Like, whatever he did right there, that's something special for him. You know what I mean? And that's one thing that you garner too. Like, you know, sometimes I watch Keenan, sometimes I watch DJ, and they do things. I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's in my playbook. You know, I'm gonna have to figure out a different way to, you know, get the route done, because they're special in that way. They have, you know, such unique traits to be able to do so many different things, and comfortability to get open on any given route. So just learning those things and learning the different nuances that they do within a route and catching the ball that I try and emulate. But, you know, got to find my own style within that as well.
Damn, he's as impressive as Caleb, man. He really is. Just like the way he thinks about it, the way he's able to articulate it, and it's just what a great spot for him to get a chance to learn from two guys like that. Reminds me of a young pitcher, you know, out there. The kid I was talking about from the Braves, Schwellenbach, yesterday, there with Charlie Morton and Chris Sale and Max Fried, learning everything he can in the dugout. That's,
well, yeah,
awesome.
We keep talking about the nest and that they've built for Caleb.
Oh, my God.
It's a pretty good one that they've done for Rome Odunze.
Incredible.
Hey, for the route running, Keenan Allen.
Yep.
Hey, for the contested catchability, the professionalism, all that stuff, DJ Moore, combination, learn everything, and then just go be great.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, just go ahead and bond with the rookie quarterback on the same timeline, and this could be your team within a year or two.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Emma, Bears Nuggets, what do we got?
Yeah, interesting sub-story of training camp. Velus Jones Jr. is getting a look at a running back today. Matt Eberflus said they are looking at this through kind of this weekend. It's something they're going to reevaluate, I believe, following this week. Look, they see him as a weapon in that position and a potential option. I tend to still bet against Velus Jones being on the roster, the initial 53, but this is an opportunity for him. He's on a wide receiver spot that's deep, and he's got a chance now to crack in and be some kind of specialist at the running back position. And John Hussey and his crew were present today, leading practice in the officiating side. I got to talk with John Hussey after practice and kind of go over the three new rule changes. Cover them with quick spread notes here, but you got the kickoff format, which was we learned about ad nauseum during the Hall of Fame game. The elimination of the hip drop tackle is something that's going to be a key point. And an expanded replay assist for calls such as roughing the passer, late hits out of bounds, and intentional grounding. I asked John Hussey about kind of the hip drop aspect. Is this something you think is going to be over-officiated or overly controversial with players? He said, look, that they are not going to be calling that unless it's a blatant call. It's something that's clear as day to them that it's an illegal play. I don't think it's going to be something that's got a lot of wiggle room early on. So we'll see how that one plays out, but interesting to hear from John Hussey. And two more days of practice, both in full pads to wrap up the week. Walkthrough on Friday, off to Buffalo for the game on Saturday.
Chris, one thing on Velus Jones, is it at all possible that he's working with the running backs because some of the blocking on the new kickoffs mirror running back schemes, and he's got to think about it from that perspective? That's a theory I heard floated earlier today.
I love that theory. It absolutely makes a ton of sense. In fact, hearing from John Hussey, he referred to the kickoff play basically as a running play. Once you get to a certain point with the guy, with the returner taking that thing back, it turns into a running play. There's open field there. I can buy into that speech. Yeah, if he is that guy they want to see as their kickoff returner, there's certainly some running back traits you can take from that as well. I'd also point to a guy like Tyler Scott, who's got some running back in his past and a guy who can run naturally with the football. He's somebody going to be competing for that spot as well. We saw him in the Hall of Fame game last Thursday night. So it's a good asset to have back there in the return game.
All right. Good job, Emma. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, man.
Take care.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.